Focus on Jesus. Isn't it good? Is that why we're here? Sometimes we forget that, don't we, it seems to me. We're going to be looking at a passage of Scripture. It's already been referred to from Matthew's Gospel in chapter 6 in just a moment. You might like to get your Bibles at the ready. But first, the highwayman, Dick Turpin. I don't think he's any relation to Georgina. She's not here this morning. I would have asked her if she'd been here, but she is related to all the other Turpins you can think of, I think, isn't she? But perhaps not Dick Turpin. And all the footpads of his sort had a fairly effective way of helping you decide what really mattered in your life. They'd stop your carriage. They'd get you out. They'd line you up. They'd stick a flintlock pistol in your face and they'd say, your money or your life. Now, depending on which end of the line you were on, I suppose, gave you a few moments just to think this through. Let's think for a moment. Life is quite important to me, so I'll probably make a donation to this man's cause. But if I say my money, then he'll take my life. I can't take my money with me. He'll have it anyway. And at this point, you probably hand over all your worldly goods that you're carrying anyway. So it's quite effective, isn't it? Your money or your life. To help you think, what's most important? What's the focus of your life? Now, I don't want you to get the wrong idea here. But maybe Dick Turpin modelled his M.O., on Jesus' words in this section of the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus has gathered quite a crowd around him. He's been delivering this manifesto for what the kingdom of God should look like. How we as human beings should live before God and amongst one another, with one another. It starts a chapter or so ago with the Beatitudes. You know, blessed are those who look like this, who behave like this. He goes on to describe us as salt of the earth and light to the world. He sets high standards for our lifestyle. Never mind thou shalt not murder, thou shalt not commit adultery. Don't even get angry. Don't even look lustfully at someone. And he goes on to say, love your enemy, give to the poor, fast and pray. And then we come to this passage, chapter 6 and verse 19. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart is also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either he'll hate the one and love the other, or he'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. And focus phrase, I think, verse 33 there. Seek first his kingdom. Seek first his kingdom. See, the message was relevant then. It must have been. Jesus was preaching it to the crowd gathered before him. And this is a message that resounds down the centuries to you and to me. Just as relevant as ever. As the title of our sermon says, we're to be people who seek God in a materialistic society. And it all boils down to this basic question. What is the focus of our lives? Sorry, what do we live for? What is the focus of your life? What do you live for? I bumped into a man the other day, the man who sold us the house next door here, number 70, Saltersford. Remember him? A guy called Mark. And he's a silversmith, if you recall. Those of us who went into number 70 when he sold it to us, remember what a mess it was with sort of tar and stuff all over the place. It's amazing. Anyway, I asked him how the silversmith work was going, and it isn't. He said, but it doesn't matter, he said. I've got little overheads. He's got a shed in his garden now. And he said, now I work to live, not live to work. I thought, actually, that's quite deep and meaningful, isn't it? And it made me think a little bit and put me in mind of what to say this morning, really. Well, Jesus was saying a similar thing, but putting another dimension there, the faith dimension. You see, if you're a believer, if you put your faith, your trust in God, if you've committed your life to him, then you've already said, Lord, you will be the focus of my life. You've already said, you will be my master to whom I give my life in your service. It's his kingdom and his righteousness that will be the focus of our lives. That's what we've said if we've committed ourselves to him as Christians. That's where we put all our energies. Now, I guess you agree with that. But how easy it is to be sidetracked. How easy it is to get drawn into the lifestyle and focuses of our culture and the world in which we live. Well, Jesus is saying, look, this isn't just a sidetrack to get drawn in to the culture. It's actually a derailment. He's saying, it's one or the other. It can't be a bit of both. It's one or the other. It's your money or your life. Your money or following him. See, the overwhelming focus of our world, isn't it, is materialism. By which I mean the accumulation of wealth and the things that our money can buy. We're fascinated by it. Every year the Sunday Times puts out its rich list. That Sunday, the Sunday Times sells twice as many copies as it does on other Sundays. Because people want to see who is the richest person in the world. How much do they earn per year? How rich is the Queen? Do you know? Those things you don't normally get to find out. Every day, not just every year, our newspapers trail, don't they, these society pages. The Oscars recently, the red carpet, and so-and-so dressed in an Armani dress, which costs £20,000. It's always there, how much it costs. Wearing shoes by Jimmy Choo, apparently, of $5,000. Probably quite cheap, is it, for a pair of shoes? I don't know. A handbag? I put a pound here. I think I meant to put £1,000. Because I don't think you get a handbag for a pound, ladies, would we? Not on the... Yeah, on the charity shop, okay. Not on the red carpet, anyway. A dog. carrying a dog, some of them. We're fascinated by how many thousands of pounds Elton John spends on flowers in a week. These are the things, aren't they, that fascinate us. But sometimes not so that we can ridicule it, but sometimes because you think, oh, wouldn't it be nice to have that kind of money? I'd do something different with it, of course, but wouldn't it be nice? These things are sold as, this is how the rich and famous live. This is success in life. And it creates a hunger in us, but actually it panders to something that's already there, doesn't it? That desire for something that is tangible that we think will satisfy our life. And we're sold materialism as one of those things that will satisfy our life. But actually it's a lie. Such an easy step, though, to make materialism, the accumulation of wealth and the things that our wealth can buy, our focus and the master of our lives. And it plays out then in loads of ways. Scratch cards, the lottery, gambling, and all because, I know it's an illness when it gets severe, but all because actually we want that 108 million pounds to be ours this week. Or we must have the latest stuff. Phones, kitchens, bathrooms. Guilty of all three in recent times. Although the bathroom's leaking, by the way. So, just so you can have a laugh at my expense. Okay. So easy, isn't it? This becomes our focus. This becomes our treasure. It's not a modern phenomena. It's true in some ways and has been in every generation. And Jesus is clear. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. Let me tell you, apparently this is true. Moths love Armani suits and clothes. Let me tell you, I believe this is true. Rust will eat your Bugatti Veyron, despite its 6-year anti-perforation warranty. Sooner or later, it will succumb to rust. What's more, all the gadgets in the world have got this built-in obsolescence now, haven't they? You get one, and it's out of date, because the next one's coming out tomorrow, sort of thing. It's just, isn't it? That's the way it is, and that feeds this thing within us. And of course, the nicer your stuff is, the more likely a thief will have it away. And of course, even if we can keep out the moths and fend off the rust and fight off the thieves, we can't take this stuff with us when we die. You probably heard about that family gathered round at the reading of the will of their recently departed loved one, whispering to each other, "How much did he leave? How much did he leave? How much did he leave?" And someone said, "Everything." Thank you. As Job said, "Naked I came from the womb, and naked I will return." I never understood that. He didn't go back to the womb, was he? But you know, naked I return. Just think about what Jesus is not saying for a moment. He's not saying you can't have money. He's not saying you shouldn't save and plan for a rainy day. Scripture is clear elsewhere. Paul to Timothy in his first letter, there's a whole section about money and how we handle it. There's a famous verse in there, which I'm sure you'll know, which says the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. And that's a warning to us. The love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. But that same letter in the same sort of chunk calls us to provide for our relatives. And if not, then we're denying the faith on a worse than an unbeliever. It's 1 Timothy 5, verse 8. 1 Timothy 4, verse 4 says, "Everything God created is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving." If God blesses us with wealth, then we receive it with thanksgiving. It's good. 1 Timothy 6:17, Paul says to Timothy, "Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasures for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of life that is truly life. See what he's saying? As we do good deeds and be generous and are willing to share with the good things that God has given us, we lay up treasure for the coming age and actually then live life as it's meant to be lived now. You get the point? All we have is a gift of God and is to be enjoyed as such with a thankful heart. And then we're to be generous with what we have, releasing the resources that God has given us so that the kingdom of God grows and others less fortunate than ourselves benefit. Whether that's our homes that we open, our cars that we loan, our bikes that we give, our tools that we lend, our money that we give, our time that we spend. John Stott says these are temporal activities with eternal consequences. Jesus said, this is storing up treasures in heaven. Because your focus is God, his kingdom, his righteousness. He is your master, not the money that you've earned. Well, really, I think the point is made there. And the next verses, really just, Jesus really just backing up his point. Verses 22 and 23 about the eye being the lamp of the body. I think he's saying simply this. You need to be clear-sighted and have God as your focus. Fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of your faith. And then light will stream in and your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are bad, if they're focused somewhere else, if they're cross-eyed trying to focus on two things, then there's just darkness in your life. Verse 24. No one can serve two masters. Either you'll hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. You notice money's got a capital M there. In the Authorized Version, the older versions, it's Mammon. You cannot serve both God and Mammon. Mammon was the god of wealth in the days of Jesus, that great Greek pantheon of gods. He was the god of wealth. Jesus saying, if you're not careful, this money, which is a very useful servant for the things we want to do in the kingdom of God, that money can become your master. When you think of master, think of master and slave. The master owns the slave. The master names the slave. The master determines every move that the slave will make. The slave lives for his master to do his will. Full stop. End of. Jesus is saying money and the pursuit of it for its own sake can become your master. It can become your God. And you can't serve two masters, because you can't fully belong to both. You can only fully belong to one as a slave does to its master. So here's the choice. God or money. And then the whole section, verses 25 to 34. Headed, do not worry, here in our Bibles. It might seem like a bit of an aside at first. Again, the Authorized Version had, take no thought to your life and what you might wear and so on. I'm not sure that's very helpful either. The sense is, take no anxious thought for these things. You see, these things that Jesus mentions here are stuff, really. Food, clothes. Now, it's pretty important stuff, I'll grant you. I don't want to go where my mind's taking me here. We don't have clothes on this morning. But see how it follows on from what he's already said. If you take anxious thought about these things, about what you're going to eat, where you're going to buy it, how you're going to cook it, how long have you got to do it, I need to sort out tomorrow and then the day after and all that kind of. If you take anxious thought to that, you'll take your eye off what really matters. And you'll begin to focus on the money, on the next meal, on your new clothes. Jesus is saying, look at the birds of the air, the birds of the air. Your heavenly Father feeds them. Now look, he's not saying they just sit there and this sort of divine hand drops grapes into their mouth or something. And he's not saying that's what you should be like either. The birds go about their business. They work, they build their nest and so on and so forth. But their heavenly Father feeds them in the end. He's provided their seeds and things that are available for them and worms that are available for them to eat. The flowers, lilies of the field, you know, more splendor than Solomon in all his finery. How much more is he going to clothe you? So don't worry about this. The sense is, don't focus on these things, but instead, verse 33, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Just two stories to close, really. Yeah, Pompeii, you'll know, big earthquake, volcano eruption, and as they've been unearthing Pompeii, they've found a woman who clearly been fleeing from the big thing that sort of follows you when an eruption happens, cloud or something. I'm looking at you, Russell, because you're expert. There you go. Whatever that was. One of them. Following you. Anyway, they found her, and her hands have been clenched as she's been fleeing from this cloud. Pyroclastic. Thank you. Pyroclastic cloud. Okay. As they've unpicked her and scraped everything else away from her, in her hand were jewels. Ironically, the jewels have survived. And she's perished. I'm not sure I'm going to use that too negatively, because I suppose she's thinking, if I can get away from this, at least I'll have something that I can sell later to, you know. But you see, there's a point in there somewhere, isn't there, about what's important in life. Second story is, what was her focus in life? I suppose that's the question. Second story about a man who found a magic lamp and rubbed it, and a genie popped out and offered him one wish. And he said, oh, he thought for a minute, then he said, I'd like a copy of the stocks and shares page of the paper dated 1 year from today in the future. I'll make a killing, he thought to himself. The genie disappeared, poof, in a pyroclastic cloud, poof. The page floated down from the sky, landed upside down on the floor, and there's the obituary column upon which was his name. What is the focus of your life? What really matters? And are you laying up treasures on earth or treasures in heaven? Are we seeking God in our materialistic world, or are we seeking first his kingdom and his righteousness, and trusting him for everything else? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, just pray that you'd help us to hear your words, Lord, and be able to unpick the threads of our life from the culture that we live in, that we might be those who seek your kingdom, seek you in this materialistic world. Help us to stand out, Lord, as lights to the world and salt of the earth, we pray in your name.